Okay. Welcome to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed here are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After this share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. So our speaker, I just want to let you know that Colleen is our timer, and she will have the app for the 30-minute share posted. So I'd like to welcome Elizabeth D., our speaker, a compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. So welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you. I'm Elizabeth D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in the Boston area of Massachusetts in the US, and I'm grateful to be here tonight and to share my experience, strength, and hope with all of you. I'm going to start by saying the set-aside prayer, which has really become my favorite prayer because I want to say that prayer because I'm basically asking that what I share might be helpful to at least one person, but I also find that, or I also hope that what I share will be helpful to me in terms of hearing my own story. So God, set aside everything that I think I know about myself, my brokenness, and you for an open mind and a new experience of myself, my brokenness, and especially you. So I'll start. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I will start with my numbers. I am 67 years old, and my top weight was 265 pounds. I am now hovering anywhere between 137 and 142. I have been in OA since age 27, 28. So yes, that's the math. So it tells you I've been in OA, Overeaters Anonymous, for close to 40 years. I have not been abstinent for 40 years. I have had periods of long-term abstinence in the program, but I've also struggled with relapse. And one of the things that I have learned recently from my work and the steps is that the doctor's opinion, where it talks about how we, the nature of my powerlessness, I'm powerless over food and other things, but I'm powerless over my trigger foods, but I'm also powerless over my own abstinence. And the fact I used to have a lot of shame around the fact that I had relapse, that I struggle with relapse on and off during the time I've been in OA. But I'm no longer afraid. I'm no longer feel that shame because I realized today that I really am powerless over this. And my disease of compulsive overeating and my history of relapse is out of my control. It is a disease. It's not something that I'm morally responsible for. So the fact that I've relapsed doesn't mean that I'm weak. It just means that I'm a compulsive overeater and of the hopeless variety. If there is anyone out there who's been struggling with relapse, I hope that you take that one thing away, that it's not a moral issue. So, have a wonderful life today. I want to start with that. I mean, just a wonderful life. I have a daughter who's 22 years old. I raised her on my own. She is my pride and joy. I have a wonderful husband. This is my first marriage. I at age 67, and we're about to have our first anniversary. It's his second marriage, my first marriage. And I have a wonderful job, a career that I love, and work that I love doing. And I have genuine friends, both in program and outside of program, and great relationships, genuine, heartfelt, deep relationships with my family. It is really a life second to none, and I'm sort of feel like I'm living the dream. And the fact is, I wake up every morning an untreated addict. And in order to maintain this way of life that's been granted to me, I need to do the steps every day in my life. And really, I have to say that OA, I've made some good decisions in my life. The best decision, one of the best decisions I've ever made was joining Overeaters Anonymous. And because it's, working the steps has, in entire abstinence has given me a life that I never imagined I could have when I was deeply in my disease earlier in life. So what I do every day is I get up in the morning, I'm an untreated addict. So I do my prayer time, my prayer and meditation straight from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I ask God for help with my day. I ask God to direct my thinking, and asking especially that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. I ask to be of service during the day, and I ask for the willingness to pause when I'm agitated or doubtful and ask for the next right action or thought. And I listen. I listen and I attempt to align my will with God's will. I've heard it said before that food is not the problem, food is the solution, and that is the case for me. For many, many years, food, even abstinent food, was the solution to my life problem. My life problem is that my life is unmanageable by me. So the first step is I came to believe that a power greater than myself, excuse me, I'm powerless over my disease. My life is unmanageable. Those two things go together. So a little bit about my background. I have, as I said, I've been in program for 40 years. I came into the program when I was 27, 28 years old on the advice of a doctor. I was in the midst of a pretty serious anxiety and depression from the breakup of my first adult relationship with a man. And I was very difficult shape. And I mentioned to her that I have this problem with food and alcohol. When I don't drink alcohol,
she's frozen. Donna, you're muted.
Elizabeth,
Sorry,
you
it
are.
dropped. Yep.
There she
Oh, it
is.
got dropped, but here I am. So this doctor sent me to OA and said, in OA, Overeaters Anonymous, you'll learn the limits of control. Well, that went completely over my head. I had no idea what she meant by I'd learn the limits of control. And she said that it's the best free therapy you'll ever get.
She's having internet problems.
Elizabeth, maybe you can take off your video and that might help you if you can hear me. Is she still here?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what the problem is with my
Maybe
Wi-Fi.
you can You can try taking off the video. That might give you stronger
All right,
Wi-Fi.
I'll stop video. Okay.
Yeah.
There. Thank you. So I started going to meetings in OA, and that first 10 years in Overeaters Anonymous, I didn't get very much recovery. In fact, I put on 100 pounds in the first 10 years of Overeaters Anonymous, which shows you that I wasn't really working the program. It wasn't that there was anything wrong with OA, it's because I wasn't working the program. I was sort of using what I would call the a la carte method, meaning I'll take this and I won't take that. Because at that time in meetings, we were meeting in a circle and everybody was sort of complaining about their day and talking about their binge behavior and so forth. And I was hearing my story. I was like, for the first time, I was hearing people talk about the way they binged and relating. Like, oh my gosh, that's the way I eat like that in secret, of course. People would ask me, well, I don't understand why you're overweight, Elizabeth. You seem to eat normally. Well, they weren't seeing how I was eating in secret. And so I was going to these meetings as a young adult. I was getting good therapy and I was, under the care of a doctor, and I was taking medication for my anxiety, and all that was good. And I was growing and my life was getting better, but I was still eating compulsively. I gave up drinking, and then within a matter of months, I weighed 265 pounds. So I believe that my first disease and my is really with food, with my trigger foods. So after, I was after 10 years, the program really, and I was went to some pay and weigh programs and so forth, but none of them worked. I always gained the weight back. Finally, after about 10 years in the program, I found myself after another sort of breakup with someone rejected me, a guy rejected me, and I was so But I was 40 years old and single, and I really wanted to have a family of my own. And I was really frustrated and angry, and I found myself in a different kind of meeting. The meeting I was in that I found myself in, because I couldn't find any other meeting where I was at the time, was something called 90 Day OA. And this was a meeting where it was very different from where I had going. The seats were sort of in an auditorium configure format. There was a speaker up front.
Elizabeth, let's just wait and see if she comes back.
I'm just going to come in and out, I guess.
I heard.
People wanted to, in those meetings, people wanted to hear what it was like to live without the drug. And so in those meetings, the mantra was abstinence is the most important thing in my life today, no matter what, no, without exception. And that evening, people were thin and they were talking about being abstinent for a while. So I asked someone to sponsor me and she immediately put me on a no flour, no sugar food plan, everything weighed and measured. And she said, call me every morning. So I did. And I called her every morning. And I lost 90 pounds in 8 months. I had never been able to lose weight like that. But clearly, what I was learning is that I have certain trigger foods. There are certain foods that I can't eat without getting being in uncontrolled about them. So once I eat these foods, sugar, flour, quantities, I can't stop. So once I learned that, luckily this woman who was an incredible, still an incredible friend of mine, this one, she said, looks great. You're now in a thin body. That's wonderful. Now I want you to start working the steps. Because she said, I don't know anybody who has long-term abstinence who doesn't work the steps. So I started, she recommended that I go to something called AWOL, which stands for A Way of Life. And these at the time, back when I was in, I don't know when it was, but back at the time, in the time, these were meetings where that were closed step studies. They were not OA approved, but they were groups of people who would come together one day a week and work the steps.
We'll see if Elizabeth will come back in.
So I did that one AWOL after another, one step study after another, and I had a spiritual awakening like I'd never had before. I had always been a religious person. I'd always been a churchgoer. My father used to call me the spiritual director. But what I hadn't done was I hadn't brought God into my food. And I was agnostic when it came, I believed in God, but I was agnostic when it came to my food issue. It's like, I'll take care of that part, God. But what I learned was that this, and I, through those step studies, I had a spiritual awakening, and I developed a personal relationship with a God of my understanding, my higher power, who I call God, and developed a a sort of daily practice with my higher power that solved all that was.
Hopefully, Elizabeth will come back.
Somebody must have prayed to God for patience.
And I had a wonderful experience in that in 90-day OA. And then I was feeling so strong in my career and in my relationships that I felt that I could do what I'd always hoped to do. My heart's desire was to be a parent. I wasn't meeting Mr. Right, despite the fact that I was dating again. And so in 2004, after many years of study and lots of work, I went to Kazakhstan, the country of Kazakhstan, halfway across the world, and I brought my daughter home. And she was 10 months old when I brought her home, and she's 22 now and in graduate school. And so I started my life, very demanding job with my daughter. And at that time, someone in the program in 90-day OA said to me, "Well, you've got a very busy life. You've got a high demanding job. You're trying to get your feet under you with this new child, and it's a total revolution in your life. Why don't you wait a while before you start the steps again?" Well, that was just enough rope for me to hang myself with. I stopped working the steps. All I did was go to 90-day OA meetings regularly. And I was abstinent, and I thought that was enough. Well, you can guess what happened. Within 4 years, my daughter's like 4 years old, 5 years old, and I had my first relapse. And for the next, I have to say, about 10 years, little, no, maybe seven years or so, I was relapsing. I had one relapse after another. Now, I would go a year and get back-to-back abstinence, and then I would have a break. And then I'd get 6 months, and then I'd have a break. Each break, each relapse was worse than the last. I would gain more weight, but I was still going back to 90-day OA. And what I would do is I'd go back to 90-day OA. I'd get a new sponsor. I'd get a food plan, and I'd do the same food plan I was doing before. I'd stop eating flour and sugar, and I'd diet off the weight, but I still wasn't working the steps. And I thought, well, I don't need to work the steps. I'm too busy. I've got a small child, and I'm working this demanding job, and I've got a mortgage now, and I don't have time for that. So guess what? I relapsed over and over again. I was really forgetting. In 2015, I had been through like yet another relapse, and I was really at a bottom. I said, I just don't know what to do. Someone recommended A Vision for You, which are phone meetings. Some of you may know it. These are phone meetings, 5 days a week, and there's a special podcast on Sundays where the emphasis is on studying the big book, a paragraph at a time at each meeting, and then sharing on that topic that was highlighted in sharing. And my very first meeting, I knew I was in the right place, because, hope I'm still on. I knew I was in the right place because
You're still on. But you're not on anymore. Hopefully you'll come back soon.
what I learned is that I have a twofold illness. I have an allergy of the body, which is physical. There are certain trigger foods that I can't eat without setting up the phenomenon of craving. And I got a sponsor. We went through the first 164 pages in the big book, and I learned in the doctor's opinion that I have a hopeless condition here. And not only can I can stop eating compulsively and start to feel better, but the problem is I can't stay stopped because I have the second feature of my illness, which is I have a fast forgetter. I have a twist of my mind, a mental illness that tells me that has completely lack of proportion when it comes to my trigger foods. It tells
Hopefully, Elizabeth will come back.
My apologies for these stop starts, but I'll, keep going and do my best. It looks like I have 8 minutes left. So that from 2015 to the present, I have been going to Vision for You. And of my I no longer go to 90-day meetings because she had me read this page. It's on page 25, and there is a solution. It's at the bottom of the page. If you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, we believe there is no middle of the road solution. Blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could, and the other to accept spiritual help. Now, which and she said she asked me a question. So, Elizabeth, what is your intolerable situation? And I said, well, I guess being in the food. And she said, well, that's not my intolerable situation. My intolerable situation is being abstinent. So, my disease had progressed to the point where I had passed into the region where there is no return through human aid. And yet, all those years that I was relapsing on and off again, I was using human aid, a sponsor, a food plan, the meetings. I was going to human aid only to solve my problem. But my problem is not the only solution to this problem that I have when I can't stop, is because I have a mental issue. I have a spiritual problem. I was not seeking a spiritual solution. So finally, I did pick up the spiritual solution in 2016 with that sponsor Envision, and I had another spiritual awakening. And I realized, oh my gosh, I had been missing God all these years, and that's why I was relapsing. So I realized that I had to really embrace the spiritual aspect of this program. So for the next another six years, I was abstinent going to Vision for You meetings, and it was enormously gratifying to begin to sponsor people and to work the steps every day in my life. So in these last 5 minutes, as best I can with this really unfortunate connection that I have through the internet, I'm going to try to talk to you a little bit about how I work the steps every day. I work the steps, every single step, every day. And that sounds overwhelming, but it's really not. The amazing thing I have found is that if I work the steps every day in my life, then I get to have a life second to none. And it's not just about living in a thin body and healthy at age 67 and having everything that I've had always dreamed of. It's about having peace and serenity in my life and a way of dealing with my problems, which comes from this book and Alcoholics Anonymous. So every day I wake up, as I said, I'm an untreated addict. So I know I'm powerless over this disease. So I make a food plan. And first and foremost, I stick to that food plan. I commit it to a sponsor. It is weighed and measured, and it is has no flour and sugar. Now, there have been times when I go into a restaurant where I don't do it perfectly. Oftentimes I bring my scale into a restaurant. Sometimes I can't for a variety of reasons. But there are times when I have to immediately, if I find that the food is starting to call me, or if I am feeling like a meal was really out of whack, I'm immediately on the phone with my sponsor or with another fellow. So I don't do this with Human Aid alone. I am going to people. I find that my higher power speaks through people, and it just really helps me. So number one, I am abstinent, and I am abstinent every day to the best of my ability. And that means, you know, I weigh and measure my food. Not everybody has to do that. I do. I have found that I do. And I give my, and I say the third step prayer, I give my life to God every day, and I ask God to direct my thinking, and I ask God to help me align my will with God's will, and help me to pause. And if I get to the point, and I want to read one more thing, I live by the 10th step. In periods where I have had relapse, it's because I put down the 10th step. This thought brings us to step 10. This is on 84, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and set right any new mistakes that we do. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. See, for me, the first three steps are the foundation of understanding my powerlessness. And then steps 4 through 9 are the steps where I clean up my past, so that I can get right with God and with my fellows. And steps 4 through 9 are in order for a reason. They are non-intimidating to me. They make it possible for me to face my problems, and they give me a toolkit to face my problems. And then step 10, I do inventory on it. You know, when my character defects or my growing edges, as I like to call them, come up. And then, as I said, I do steps 11, and I also sponsor people. So this really is how I work my day. It's not overwhelming. In fact, the amazing thing about these steps for me is that there have been times in my life where I thought, I can't do these. This is too much. I can't like chop my food and shop and do all the stuff to get my food ready and then do all these things and do the AWOLs and blah, blah, blah. I don't have the time. Well, guess what? What I have found is that if I live this way of life, if I use these tools, a food plan, a sponsor, if I use these things, if I align my will with God and do my prayer and meditation, if I do these things, I get more time in the day. Don't ask me how that happens, but I have become a more productive, useful human being, not just thin, but grateful and useful and in peace and serenity like I've never known before. Not perfect life by any means, but a life that is useful and brings me joy. And I am very grateful for your time, for your patience with this house that I'm in, and which clearly doesn't have a good cell connection tonight for whatever reason. But I hope that some messages got through, and they certainly did for me, because it reminds me of how grateful I am. And I'll pass.
Donna, you're muted.
Thanks a lot, Elizabeth, for your share. And so